Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to, I'm going to give you three passages of Scripture, give you time to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, push me up. All right, and then Revelation chapter 4. While you're turning there, I'll give you time to turn there and just say a couple of words. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, Revelation chapter 4. I was sitting there thinking a while ago, that trio singing. I remember the days when they were little girls. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way at all, but they're still little girls. But they were young girls and singing together. And who would have ever thought that they would be standing here singing today? And what a blessing that was. And I appreciate the opportunity to hear them sing, and I'm looking forward to God blessing in the future. We're glad to have Paul and Janelle here. They've already been a blessing. I know they will be in the future. If you have your Bibles, I want to speak to you today for a few minutes, and I'm not used to sitting down. I don't know how this is going to work. We'll find out in just a little while. But if you have your Bibles, I hope you'll turn to the passages of Scripture. This week just happened, and by the way, let me say, I want to clear myself here. Not because I want to, but I found it necessary to take pain medication. And so I'm not responsible for anything I say this morning, totally. So please, if I say something crazy, you know it's the medicine, okay? But I wanted to get that clarified before we get started. All right. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let me just read the scripture, and then we'll have a word of prayer and go ahead and get started. Like I said, this is kind of odd for me, preaching from this place. All right, if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." All right, now if you would, go to 2 Thessalonians, or 1 Thessalonians, excuse me, chapter 4. And I begin reading verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, begin reading verse number 13. If I get there. He said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, but even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, if you turn with me to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. John said, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together today. And Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the power in the Word of God. And I pray now today that you might anoint my lips. I pray, Lord, that you give me the words that I need. And Lord, give me the liberty to sit here and preach today. And Lord, I pray that your name would be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. And surely we'll give you the praise and honor and glory for all that's accomplished here today. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray, amen. I guess by now you probably figured out, whether you've already got the title on the board, of When Jesus Comes for the Church. That's what I want to speak to you today and talk a little bit about the coming of the Lord for the church. And I want to remind you today, in fact, just the other day, I think Brother Leek and I was sitting in my office and we was discussing this very subject. We was talking about things, and that's kind of what prompted this message today. We was talking about things that are going to take place when Jesus comes. I realize today that most people that are in church that go for any length of time, period of time, they understand. But there's a lot of people, even that are saved people, that don't understand everything that's going to transpire when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. We speak of this as being the rapture of the church. Now, the word rapture is not found in the Bible anywhere. You'll not find that word used, but what it means is a calling away or a snatching away, and literally talks about being caught up with the Lord when He comes back for us again. I want you to know today that my hope lies in the fact that one day Jesus is coming again. And not only is He coming to get me, but He's coming to get all those who have been saved by the grace of God and take us home to be with heaven with Him. Now, the rapture is something that will occur in future events. Now, again, I don't know the time, day, or hour, and no man knows the time or day or hour when it'll happen. It could be today. What a blessing it would be today if the Lord would come back and take us all out of here. But there are several things that's going to take place when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. It's a time when those who have died in the Lord will be raised out of their graves and will be they'll be raised up out of their graves and be taken home to be with the Lord. It'll be a time of when Christians will be snatched up, taken away, or caught up to be with the Lord in the air and forever be with the Lord. And the Bible refers to this as the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And friend, whether you believe it or not today, you've got to come to the point, first of all, in order to do anything according to the Word of God, you must have to believe that Jesus Christ sent His Son, or that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin, in order that He might pardon us of our sin, cleanse us of our sin, and save us and give us eternal life. I believe today no man will ever be saved apart from believing the Word of God. The Bible said faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so today I want to point out some events that are going to transpire when the Lord comes back for His church. I know today many times people's minds are filled with questions that we might ask, and there may be some things that seem to be a little contradictory. Maybe if you don't understand the Scripture, I didn't say were contradictory, because nothing in the Bible is contradictory. Everything in the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and God makes no mistakes. However, I'm saying, if you're talking to somebody, it can be easily confused if they don't understand the full scheme of what's taking place and what has happened. And so this morning, I'd like to preach to you on this subject of the Lord's coming again. But the most important thing that I want you to see today is the importance, yes, that He is coming again, but the fact rests in the importance of your relationship with Him when He does come again. If you're here this morning, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. Listen, what a joy and wonderful day it's going to be. Brother Hicks's favorite song is, "What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one that saved me by His grace." I like it too. And I'm grateful today that the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're going to heaven. But the sad news is, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, when the Lord does come back, you will not go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when the Lord comes back at the rapture, you will be left behind upon this earth, in which will begin the tribulation period as we know it, the first 3.5 years, and the latter 3.5 being the great tribulation, to where there's going to be a great deal of turmoil and strife and difficulty in this world. And might I just add today, if you're here lost, I can tell you, you do not want to go through that. You do not want to experience that. And once it happens, there's not going to be any turning back. When Jesus sounds the trumpet and calls us home to be with Him, friend, it's going to be all over then, and there's not going to be any time to turn back and to get right with God. And I pray this morning, if you're here and you do not know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, I plead with you this morning to listen to what I'm trying to say and understand today that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I don't care. I thank God for people that are good people. I thank God for people that try to live right. But friend, it's not based on that. It's based on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. Now this morning, I go back and I look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And I see the passage of Scripture that is given before us. And try to understand what He is saying to us here. First of all, the Lord Jesus will return. You said, how do you know that? Because He told us He would. He told us in a bunch of places He would. And even in this place, He tells the fact that He goes away, but He comes back to receive us unto Himself. He said in 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse number 16, He said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain at the coming of shall be caught up in the clouds to meet. Well, I better read it, okay? For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, that presents an interesting question that a lot of people have to ask, and we'll get to that in a moment. But first of all, I want you to know that for a fact, take it to the bank, Jesus is coming again. And you can rest assured today that I don't believe there's anything else that has to happen for Him to come back. I believe He could come back today, and we'll talk some Scripture in just a minute. But you remember as He gathered His disciples together in the upper room in John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, He said, I will come again and receive you unto Myself. In Acts chapter 1 and 11, as they stood around gazing as Jesus was caught up into the heavens, He said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus which you saw taken up will in like manner come again. I'm simply saying today, there's so much Scripture and there's so much proof that we know that one day Jesus is coming again. The scoffers may laugh, they make fun, but I know Jesus said in John 14, 3, I will come again. And I want you to know today, He's never failed to do what He said He would do. And I tell you today, what a wonderful day it's going to be when Jesus does come again, and He's coming back for those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who have been saved by the grace of God, to take us home to live with Him forever and forever and forever. Now, I want you to understand, first of all, Jesus is coming again. Jesus died on the cross in order that He may pay the price for our sin, in order that He might redeem us one day and take us home to be with Him. Now, I said that He's coming back for the redeemed. Back in the day, in the book of Thessalonians, the Thessalonians, the people there, the church of Thessalonia, they were concerned about their departed loved ones. They kind of had the idea that if they had died, they had missed out on it. But Jesus now wants to show them the truth that is given in the Word of God, that is not the case or not the fact, and neither will they be left out. Friend, you don't have to worry about your loved ones if they've been born again and saved by the grace of God. There's nobody that's ever been born again that's going to be left out. There's nobody that's ever been saved that's not going to make it if they truly been born again. And truly today, there's no fear that we ought to have for our loved ones that have died before us other than the fact that they did not trust Christ as our Savior. And by the way, that's nothing we can do anything about at this point. But there is something we can do about it now. We can do everything we can to share with them the gospel. How sad it is today for us to see people that literally do not know Christ. They reject Him. They refuse Him. They just said, no, I'm not going to do it. And one day, the trumpet's going to sound, and here's what it said. It said the dead saints will be resurrected first. Now, not only are they not going to be overlooked, but they're going to get special treatment because they're going before we do. Now, I don't know all the philosophy of it, but some folks say it's because they got 6 feet further to go. I guess that could be true, and that is true, but the fact of it is, God has not forgotten those who have died in the Lord. Now, let me stress something else to you. Somebody asked the question to me the other day, and it was a good question and a rightful question. But they say, but preacher, you said, and I've heard you say, when you preach, you say absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. How in the world, if we're in the grave, when He comes back, if He's going to resurrect us, how are we with the Lord? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because the way we're with the Lord is because the moment we get saved, our spirit goes to be with the Lord. Notice what He said in the book of Thessalonians here in verse number 13. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. In other words, He pretty much presented to them, there is something to worry about. If they have no hope. But you don't have anything to worry about if they have a hope. Can I say today, I guess the reason for this message, it's not nothing that many of you have not heard. It's a very simple message. But I don't want anyone to be ignorant about those who die. And if they die in the Lord, especially the fact that one day the Lord is coming back. I believe the moment a person dies, I believe their spirit ascends into heaven. I believe that the body is taken to the cemetery, is placed in the grave. I've got loved ones out there in the cemetery. I go by and visit every now and then, visit the graves. But they're not there. Just their body or their tabernacle that they lived in is there. I tell you, I don't know that it'll happen, and it probably won't. But I tell you, I wish that I could be at the cemetery, standing by the grave of my loved ones when Jesus come back. I tell you what, I believe it's going to happen so fast, we're going to have to look fast in order to see what's going on. But I tell you, I believe God just might give me a glimpse of my son and my mother and my sisters and my daddy and all those who have gone on before me coming up out of that ground and proceeding into the heavens. Now, what He's doing is giving them a new body. Now, when we fall asleep at night, and by the way, that's what that body's doing, it's just asleep. When we're asleep, we're losing consciousness. We don't know anything, but we're still breathing. On Thursday, they put me to sleep. I mean, some hard sleep. They woke me up. He said, how do you feel? I said, like a truck run over me. And I think he said, that's kind of usually the answer I get from everybody. That was some deep sleep. But I was just sleeping. Thank goodness they was able to wake me up. But I tell you today, He's not talking about sleeping as we know it. He's talking about sleeping in death until the day the Lord comes back. You see, those who die in Jesus, they lose their conscious presence in the world, but they do not cease to exist. That's what we talk about. We talk about eternal life. Thank God today, we all have eternal. Did you hear me? I said we all have eternal life. Now, somebody said, now, preacher, wait a minute now. I thought just saved people had eternal life. No, if I read my Bible right, it said everybody has eternal life. But I tell you, the eternal life in hell is not going to be considered eternal life. It's going to be considered eternal hell forever and forever and forever. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I cringe sometimes to think of the thought of people dying and going to hell. But then I'm glad that I'm not going to die and go to hell. And yet we find here that until He comes back for His own, He gives the idea that those folks in the cemetery, my loved ones that are out there, kind of as if the Lord Jesus just kind of rocked them to sleep, if you know what I mean. He just put them to sleep as you would a babe. You'd pat them and you'd sing the lullaby to them and you put them to sleep because literally they're not dead. That body's dead and they will not live on this present world anymore. But thank God today we have hope. And that hope comes from two wonderful truths or sources that comes from the death of Christ on the cross. That's our hope. It's the death of Christ on the cross, but also in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now I want you to understand in just a moment, not only does His death give us hope, but so does His resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15:12-23, I'm not going to read all of it, but he said, because Jesus rose from the dead, all those who have their faith in Him will rise again also. I tell you today, we preach and teach about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and rightfully so, but one day I'm going to rise again. I'm going to rise victorious out of that grave, or I'm going to rise out of this earth, whichever way it is that He chooses to come for me. But because Jesus died and rose again, we don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear the judgment of God. God has accepted us. Jesus is our ransom. We've been delivered, and we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in His presence forever and ever and ever. But I'm going to tell you today, I don't want to get off my subject, but I'm going to tell you the consequences of not going in the rapture is terrible. The consequences of not being saved and being left behind is an awful thing to think about. Oftentimes we have a funeral, and I very seldom don't say it. I always, almost always at a funeral say this of a saved person. I'll tell the people that's there, this is your loved one right here. You can walk by this morning and say goodbye. I'll see you in the morning. Or you can say goodbye and never see them again. Because maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Oh, I know today somebody said, preacher, this just, you know, this is a lot. This is heavy stuff. What are you saying? I'm simply saying today, He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you don't call on the name of the Lord, you will not be saved. For you see, we need not to fear death because of what Jesus has done for us. Now, somebody said, now wait a minute. Okay, here it is. Don't the bodies deteriorate? I would assume they do because everything in that state deteriorates. Somebody asked me the question this, and by the way, I don't advocate this at all. I'm not going to argue with somebody over it, and that's fine if that's what they choose to do. But some folks have chose to be cremated, and so they've chosen that way, and that I'm not going to get into that this morning. I just tell you, I don't think that way. I believe the Bible teaches for the Christian what he has, but I don't condemn nobody. I know there's people that do it, and don't get mad at me, okay? I'm just saying that. But I give you some hope. Somebody said, what about them people that's been cremated? Jesus knows where every speck of every person is, no matter where they are. So I just said all that about cremation to say that's not a problem to him, okay? He's going to reunite our bodies. We're going to be brought together again. We're going to be reassembled regardless of our condition. And by the way, we get to heaven, there's not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any more surgeries. There's not going to be any more death. What a day that's going to be. We're going to have a body like unto His. And yes, I believe all who are saved will have that body. But in verse 15, He says those who are still living when Jesus returns will not go before them or proceed before them. For you see, to die in Jesus is not to miss anything. Everybody's going to get into His presence same way anybody else does. 1 Corinthians 15:52 said the parted saints will be raised incorruptible. They shall be changed. When they left their bodies in death, it was destined for the ground, which it changed. Perhaps that body, when it was buried, it was diseased. Perhaps it was worn out. Perhaps it was torn apart by sin or tragedy or a car accident. These people I know in this life have had to have limbs amputated. I told them the other day, I said, y'all be sure you get the right foot, okay? They wasn't cutting nothing off, thank goodness, but I want to be sure they got the right foot. I've heard of people losing the wrong arm. But even if they lost it because they needed to, because of a disease, Friend, God knows exactly where it's at. And He can bring it together just like He said He would. So, the Lord's coming back. The second thing, the dead saints will be resurrected. Thank God, those who have died in the Lord, they're just resting. Now, they're in the presence, I believe, of the Lord, in the Spirit of the Lord. But one day, that body is going to be resurrected out of the ground. Now, when that happens, I would assume the next thing in line would be those of us who are walking around on the earth. And I don't know how to be, but I might not be at the cemetery, but the cemetery workers might be out there cutting the grass or something. I hope they're saved. But if they're not, they're going to have a spectacle to try and figure out what's going on. But if they are saved, we won't have to worry about figuring it out, because I believe God will reveal all things. But He said in verse 17, 1 Corinthians 4, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall it ever be with the Lord." These verses speak of the day the Lord comes back. He calls the dead in Christ from those graves first. Then, and by the way, isn't it interesting what Paul said? He said, "We which are alive and remain." Paul thought he'd still be living when Jesus come. Man, it's been years since all of that transpired. Literally, thousands of years. And yet you say, He hadn't come. But He will, because He said He would. And Paul was looking for Him to come. We find here that it appears Paul was looking for His imminent return. Somebody said, "Well, the word rapture is just not in the Bible. I can't find it anywhere." That's right. The word Trinity is not in the Bible either. But I believe in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You see, if we neglect the doctrine of the Trinity, again, the Godhead, you're in danger of hell. If you reject the word Trinity, you're in danger. Because you must understand that Jesus is all three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You got to understand these things. We've talked a little bit about the rapture. It means to be caught up. The phrase suggests a strong, irresistible, violent act, to seize by force, to carry off by force. And by the way, and this would be crazy, but if anybody didn't want to go and you're saved, you couldn't do nothing about it. You going. He's taking you anyway by force. I don't think you have to take nobody by force. It's interesting to note the word conveys the idea of force. But when I think of force, you know what I think? I think of the forces of this world that are trying to keep us out of heaven. I think of the devil that could be sitting on somebody's shoulder right now saying, "That's just a bunch of hogwash." Friend, I got news for you. There's the force of the devil working mightily today. He don't want nobody to get saved. He wants you to spend eternity in hell with him. Of course, you won't know he's there. But what is the forces that pull us? Well, first of all, there's the strong pull of sin. The strong pull of sin. I tell you today, the Bible said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." I tell you, I love the Lord. I love God. I'm not trying to be pious or even trying to be spiritual this morning. But I'm going to tell you what, it broke my heart this morning when I thought that I wasn't going to get to come to church today, because my mom and dad instilled in me the importance of being in the house of God. And I realize there's times people can't come. But there's no reason I can't be here. I believe that. I believe I'm just as well off sitting right here that I would have been sitting at home. I tell you, I love the house of God. But I tell you, the pull of the world and sin will do everything he can to keep you out, because he don't want you to hear. You know, I thought this morning, literally, I did, and I'm not just saying this. I was laying in bed thinking, man, something might happen at church today. I'm talking about something good. Somebody might get saved or something. I just want to be there. And I thank God for the desire he's given me. I think about the influence of the flesh. I tell you, this old flesh right here, boy, I tell you today, it'll do everything it can to destroy us and tear us down. It'll try its best to keep us from serving God. It'll do everything in its can to get us away from God. But I tell you, there's a force one day that's coming. And I tell you, it's going to sweep me out of here. And it's going to sweep me into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the force of the world. Man, could I just say this? I know it sounds a little redundant, maybe. But I'm telling you, friend, look what's going on in Washington, D.C., and tell me you don't believe Jesus is coming soon. You say, well, preacher, you can't go by that. Oh, yes, I can. Because I tell you what, I don't know how it can get much worse than what it is now. And I'm telling you, Jesus is coming one day, and he's going to take us home and deliver us. What a blessing that'll be. That ought to inspire us. If you're saved today, you ought to be excited. You ought to be excited enough, the fact that Jesus is coming again, that you'd want to do everything you could to get everybody you can saved by the grace of God. I'm grateful today for God inspiring us to go on and be with him. How will this happen? We're told that he'll appear in the clouds. Now, I know, I don't guess, I heard a fellow say one time, the Inspirations sing a song entitled Stepping on the Clouds. I like it myself, personally, but I had a preacher tell me one time, said that just ain't spiritual. You ain't find nobody where in the Bible where we're stepping on the clouds. I said, well, no, but it sure talks about clouds and talks about a lot of clouds. And I don't know, but I'll just say it's all right with me if you sing Stepping on the Clouds. I believe we'd be stepping on the clouds and we'd be stepping out of here. And I tell you what, I'm grateful one day the Lord is coming back, and what a blessing there's going to be. He said he's coming in the clouds. And I tell you what a blessing it's going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and experience. But not only that, there's going to be a shout. The Bible said, then we which are alive and remain in verse 17 shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm looking for the verse there. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I believe it's going to be a distinctive shout. I don't believe it's going to be like any other shout you've ever heard. And I believe those of us who are saved are going to know the shout, although we've never heard it. Jesus will step out, whether you like or not. I step out on clouds. I believe that. He's going to come home, and he's going to invade the devil's territory down here, and he's going to say, come on. Come on home. And boy, what a blessing that'll be. Jesus promised that there would come a day when the dead would hear his voice. You said dead can't hear his voice? Is that right? Well, my Bible said in John 11:43, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. And I believe when he calls us forth, we're going to come forth. I'm going to move quickly. Man, I might could preach a long time sitting in this chair. I just tell you, there'll be a trumpet. I like this. There'll be a trumpet. One common theme is mentioned in our text is the trumpet. The trumpet was used in ancient Judaism in the New Testament, and readers were well acquainted with the trumpet. It was called to proclaim victory. It was used to call an assembly. It was used to announce a warning. It was used to call troops to battle. When the rapture takes place, those same events are going to take place. Victory over the world will be proclaimed. Amen. I did. That'll make you want to shout. The saints will be assembled in the greatest congregation that's ever been assembled. And there won't be nobody saved that's going to miss it. Everybody's going to be there. You said, well, I have a cold that day. Well, forget about it. You won't have it when he calls you. And then the trumpets will announce the coming of God's judgment. Whoa. The coming of God's judgment. Man. That's going to be a sad day. And the armies of heaven are going to be summoned to battle. In society of Paul's day, trumpets were heard on a daily basis. The Roman army, which occupied most of the civilized world at that time, used trumpets to carry out the movements of their troops. Typically, when a Roman legion moved, there would be three blasts from the trumpets. The first would tell the troop to strike their tents and prepare to move. The second would alert them to fall in and line up. The last trumpet would be to signal them to move out. And I'm going to tell you what, man, can you think about it? When you hear the trumpet, we're just going to hear it one time. But I tell you, strike up your tent, pack up your bags. We're fixing to check out of here. Fall in and line up. I don't know how we're going in line. I just got a feeling we'll just all go together. And then thank the Lord. It's going to be the signal, that last trump is going to be the signal to move up to glory. When that trumpet sounds, it'll be the Lord calling his people to fall in and move out. I'm going to move on quickly. In 1 Corinthians 15, he said it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Scientists have determined that the blink of the eye is 1/30th of a second in duration. That's fast. But twinkling's even faster than that. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 1/1000th of a second. We can't even comprehend that. But 1 Thessalonians 4:17 said we're going to be caught up. The whole idea here is one of speed. I want to spend just a minute here. I'm going to finish the message, but I know I don't want to belabor the point. But friend, I want you to understand there will be no warnings of His coming when He comes. And it's going to happen so fast, it's going to be over. Somebody said, man, I'll fall on my face and cry out to God. Too late. Too late. You said, oh, I remember what the preacher said. No, you won't. Because God said that He'd send an illusion, a lie, and make you believe a lie. You see, if He was to come today, you just better be ready. What did we used to say when we played that game? Coming, ready or not. And Jesus is coming, ready or not. And by the way, the whole church is going to be leaving. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:51, all will be changed. All will be changed. It's not going to be an event enjoyed by just a select few. I submit to you this morning, if you're here and you're saved by the grace of God, you don't have to worry about being left behind. But you better know that you know that you know. And then lastly, and I move on, the saints will be remade. We sing that song, He's Still Working on Me. I tell you what, we're going to experience physical change. I tell you, not only, and I'm talking about us, those of us who are alive. In the rapture, the saints will experience a radical change. These mortal bodies will be changed to immortal bodies. The bodies that are destined to perish will be made like a body like the Lord has. No matter if you've experienced death, decay, disease, what a day that's going to be. Friend, I tell you what, there's not going to be any more aches and pain. There's not going to be any more cancer. There's not going to be any more knees or hips or whatever else you have to have. Thank God all of it's going to be changed physically. We're going to experience a perfect change. I know somebody said, well, if I'd have, you know, I had this and I had this when I was born, and I sure would like to not have all that. Well, that's all right. When the Lord changes you, you'll be changed just like He wants you to be. In fact, He made you like He wanted you to be, okay? So just get used to that. But when He comes, He's going to remake you into a glorified body. By the way, His body is not bound by time or space. His body, and by the way, He said we're going to get a body like in His. His body's not bound by time and space. His body that can enjoy food and fellowship. His body that can never die. And His body, according to Revelation 21:23, His body outshines the sun. Back when I used to lead singing, when I was at Tennessee Temple in a little country church in Ooldawah, Tennessee, I tell you, my best song was for the choir to sing, Jesus will outshine them all. And I tell you today, what a wonderful day that's going to be. Jesus has a body where time and space have no boundaries, where He can enjoy food and fellowship. The Bible tells us He did. And also Hebrews 7:25, the body would never die, and we will outshine the sun. I think what a blessing that'll be. We will experience a permanent change. Ever since we've been born, we've been changing. We was born to die. And we started dying the day we was born. But I tell you, one day He's taking us home to be with Him, and we're going to be remade. Sorry, I told you that was the last one, but it wasn't. The body of Christ will be reunited. Got a little ahead of myself. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. A lot of people ask me questions. Preacher, will I know my wife? Will I know my children? I believe you will. I don't believe you'll know them as you know them here. I believe it's going to be totally different. I don't understand all there is about it. But He says we're going to be together, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be in the Lord. Think about it. I tell you today, if anybody's saved, the greatest desire ought to be to see Christ. But I'm a little excited about seeing my mom and dad. And I'm really excited about seeing my son. I'm just excited about going to heaven. And I tell you today, you mark her down. He is coming again. One day, the Bible said, we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. We'll see the one that loved us so much that he left heaven, endured a horrible suffering to die for us. We'll meet the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. We'll meet the one who loved us in spite of our sins. Hallelujah. That stirs me up. In his presence and being with him forever and ever. But I like what it said. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Imagine what it'll be like to bow at his feet and to thank him for the cross, the blood, the Bible, the empty tomb, the church, the blessings of life, for his presence, and all the other countless things that he's done for us. Yes, I'd have to sing with him. I just can't praise him enough for what he's done for me. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the privilege and opportunity we have together today. And Lord, I thank you for allowing me to be able to sit in this chair and preach today. A few hours ago, it did not seem like a possibility. But I'm grateful. Lord, I didn't come here to be seen. I didn't come here today to get any praise. I came here today to preach the Word of God and pray, Lord, that it would land on some good soil. Lord, I ask now that you would guide and direct. Have your will and way, we pray. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.